You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome you wherever you are. And we've called this program for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Don and I co-pastor church here in Stuart, Florida. We have for 22 plus years. It'll be 23 years. Hard to believe, Pastor Don, in January. And God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. And so we're honored to be here with you. As I said, hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. Listen to what the Spirit of God's going to speak to you today, that you might learn some things that a lot of people may not know about, but some may, but we'll just kind of move on with it. And Donna's got a few announcements here to start with, and we'll see what she wanted to have to say before we get into a little bit of teaching here with you today. And we're going to look at a chapter in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. And I want to kind of, if we got time, I'd kind of put it together with Matthew 24, Luke 13, and or 17, Luke 17, and Mark 13. Kind of put it together. Each one of them had a little bit different way to explain it to help fill in some of the blanks, I think. But Matthew 24 is the greatest chapter we have on the whole panoramic view that Jesus gave His disciples of that day. And so we want to look at that and see what He told them, because this was given to them privately, it says. All right, Pastor, you got some announcements to make there?
Yeah, well, not too many, but yeah. I was just thinking about, I want to say hello to everyone out there on Radio Land and also on the Internet, because we're also on the Internet, so you can listen to us by way of the Internet if you so care to. But I was thinking about the name of the church, Pastor Gene, okay. The Lord gave you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're talking about end times, and we've just come through a lot of things in September and all these things. But, you know, here we are. We're still here. But the time is short, and it's closer every day that goes by, and we get closer and closer. But this is where the Lord gave you this. It's really in the very the end of the book.
That's right.
The end of the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, it's in Revelation 19, verses 10. And, you know, this name here, it's you know, there was a talk in here. And he says, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to read all of it. But it says, and 10, verse 10 says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. The only person we are to worship is Jesus,
right? That's right. So that was John. He shouldn't have done that, right?
That's right. Well, you know, and John, he was having this revelation. You know, who knows if you felt someone's... He heard Jesus. He saw all these marvelous things.
Plus the angel spoke to him, too.
Yes, and he said unto me, see thou, do it not. He said, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Then so he gives instructions. He says, worship God. And that's what we do when we come to when we come together. He says, worship God for the testimony or the witness of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Thank you, Lord.
So the spirit of prophecy is all through our Bible, isn't it?
Sure is.
It's all through our Bible, and we're going to talk a little bit about the spirit of prophecy today and how these prophetic words. You can't take prophecy out of the Bible.
Nope. No way.
If you take prophecy out of the Bible, you're probably eliminating
big part of it.
Three quarters of the Bible?
I don't know. Quite that much, but a lot.
We need the whole counsel of God, and we need the prophets. We need the prophecy, and the prophecies are in the prophets. And, you know, Revelation right here, you know, John, you could say he was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He received the revelation of Jesus Christ and the end times. So we can't take prophecy out of the church, out of what we learn and what we know. Because we need the whole Bible.
That's right.
So I wanted to mention that, you know, prophets is very important. And so it's more important than history. Well, there's history in the Bible. There's history in the Bible. And there's many examples of different people's lives we can learn from. There's wisdom in this Bible. We need the whole counsel of God.
Sure do.
But we need to worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's a small s. That means our human spirit.
That's
to
right.
Declare.
Our human spirit receives the prophecy
of the Lord.
Of the prophets.
That's right.
And of the people that God has spoken through. So Prophecy that hasn't stopped.
Nope.
No, wisdom hasn't stopped. And we might want to share that scripture sometime along the way today. Knowledge hasn't stopped.
Nope.
So why do they think the prophecy? Well, the prophecy is all it's in the book, but it's being fulfilled. So it's being fulfilled. And if we don't know what things are going to happen, then we don't know what's been fulfilled and what's being fulfilled today, tomorrow,
in the future as well.
In the future,
mm-hmm.
we can see that God is true, because look at the prophecies that have already been fulfilled.
That's right.
And there's been a lot of them.
A lot of them.
So as I said, you know, you can listen to us on WCNO.com. If you happen to be, this your first time, maybe you're driving down the highway. A lot of people listen on the radio when they're driving their car. So, you know, if you'd like to go back and you can listen to what we're going to share today, or you can listen to some of the ones that we have done in the past, just go to WCNO.com and you will be blessed by that. So I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We'll have service tomorrow at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And then today we have a class. We have our Bible class today, which was going to be a video today.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the video is?
We mentioned this last week. I taught last week about tabernacles, but the week before we showed the first segment of this. This is called Political Islam's War on the West, by Bill Federer, and he's an expert on the Muslim faith. And so we listened to the first DVD, which was an hour and a half, 2 weeks ago. We're going to look at the second part of it today, and then next week we'll look at the other part.
So if you happen to miss the first part, that's okay, because he does do a lot of
reviews.
It's very, we need to have this knowledge. We need to know these things.
It's the whole history of the Islamic faith. Yeah.
We need to know history, and we need to know what other people believe, what other religions believe. And people say, well, I don't need to know that. All I need to know is the Bible. No, we need to know what's going on.
We need to know this book, too,
the world, right. You know, this Bible talks about other religions.
Sure, it does.
Talks about people that are anti-Christ,
mm-hmm.
and against Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Well, we need to know about those things. We need
Amen.
To know what they do, their customs and their beliefs and how they act on what they believe.
That's right.
So we need to know. So that's at 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then after that, we will have a little meal at 6 o'clock, a wonderful meal at 6 o'clock. I'll tell you, the meals that we have on Shabbat are really awesome. And then we close out the Sabbath with the Sabbath prayers. And, you know, people say, well, are you Messianic? Are you Jewish? Well, I could say no, and I could say yes to both. You know, yes and no. We're grafted in. The Bible says that we're Jew and Gentile come together to worship. We believe in the one new man. And the one new man is the one, whether you are, no matter what nationality you are, or you may be, if you are born again, if you're a Christian born again and you have the blood of Jesus Christ and you believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua, you believe in this man we're talking about, Jesus.
As our Lord and Savior, yeah.
And he's your Lord and your Savior. then you know you're of a different kingdom. You're different. Sure. You're of the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
And so we need to come together and be one. And so you know the Lord says to honor the Sabbath, even in the Ten Commandments. He says, remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. So the Sabbath has always been, and it will always be, it's something that's eternal and will never end. And we, Pastor Gene, we talk about the number 7 in so many places in the Bible. And so, you know, 7 is a very important number, and it always has been and always will be. So there's no reason why we shouldn't honor it, because God says it's for us.
That's
so,
right.
You know, Sunday hasn't replaced the Sabbath. Sunday is
the first day of the week.
First day of the week, and it's a resurrection. It's a number of new beginnings. Really, it's a number 8.
Jesus brought new beginnings on that day.
Sunday is the number 1. Well, yeah. You know, if you go from 7 to 8, go from 7 to the next one, it would be 8. So it's a number of new beginnings. So
he brought new beginnings for us, didn't he?
That's right.
Sure did.
anyway, then we also have Friday night services, and that's at 7 p.m. So come and worship with us sometime. We're right here in Stuart, Florida. I'm going to give you the phone number in just a second. And we're right here off of Kenner Highway in the Monterey Plaza, next door to Save A Lot Food Store. So,
and Rancho Chico Restaurant, right
Rancho
there.
Rancho Chico Restaurant, right? Give them a little
plug there.
Plug there. Very good food in there.
Yeah.
But you know what we need? We like good food, don't we?
Yeah.
But we need the truth, and we need spiritual food, and we need to know the truth. The truth will make us free. And so we need to know the truth. And the truth is in this word, in the Bible, in
That's
His
right.
word. In His word. So Friday night, 7 p.m., we spend time seeking God's presence, and we have communion together. Every Friday we have communion, Pastor Gina. It never gets old.
Mm-hmm.
It's just awesome. And yes, we do blow the shofars, and we do
shout dance.
And dance and
hallelujah.
Prophesy. And
glory
you know,
be to God.
We do have a joyful time in the Lord.
Sure do.
Amen. So that's kind of our schedule. And then on Thursdays, if you'd like to pray with us, we do pray at the Alliance Church every Thursday at 12 o'clock noon.
That's right.
And I want to mention, too, we don't really have anything special going on this month. But next month, we have our Bible Reading Marathon. And I've already had a couple people call to sign up, Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need you. I'm telling you, we need you. We need help. And we
need readers.
Your prayers. We need readers. We need people who will be able to come and stay half the night, all night. We need help, you know. It's not an easy thing. You know, it's not such a big job reading the Bible, but it takes a lot of people.
To get it
and
done.
It takes a lot of people to be able to be there and to be on hand, to have eyes and ears to be those watchmen, you know, on the wall.
That's right.
And to be those overseers. So we need help desperately. So please, if you have that time, it's going to start on Veterans Day, which is November the 11th. We're starting a week earlier this year. November the 11th, that's on a Wednesday, and it'll be for 5 days and 4 nights. So come, call me. I'm going to give you the phone number and tell me you can help and that you will donate some time. And that you will read and you will bring some people to read. And and you will pray for it. You will pray for the Bible Reading Marathon. This is the number 15.
15th year we're going to do it.
15th time we've read the entire Bible in city property. Right there facing Jerusalem.
Right.
Facing Jerusalem, praise God. And we read the entire Bible starting Wednesday evening, November the 11th at 7 p.m. And we continue until Sunday around 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock we finish,
and it's when we finish.
It's what's called a marathon. We never stop reading.
A marathon. So we need you to come and help us and to read the Word of God. You know, you may not read your very, very favorite verse, but you know, everyone who's
your
read
favorite
anywhere,
book.
Anywhere. Yeah, or your favorite book, right. People call me and say, oh, I want to read this, I want to read that. Yeah. You know, you may not read that place. You know, it doesn't take that long to get it. We're in the Old Testament most of the time.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah, up until Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
So we're in the Old Testament all the time. If people want to read the New Testament, they're going to have to be there Saturday night, you know, sometime, maybe sometime during the evening.
Or earlier, depends, yeah.
Because
how fast we read.
But,
yeah.
But you know, no matter where you read, people tell me, that's what I was supposed to read. People tell us that. Either they're reading something in Lamentations or somewhere, anywhere. That's what I was supposed to read. And you know, God knows. And
that's
so
right.
Wherever we read, we can see Jesus on every page.
That's right.
If we look and we search, we can see Jesus on every single page of the Bible.
That's right.
So just think about that. I'm going to see Jesus on any page I read. So praise the God.
So we tell people, can you give God 15 minutes of your time? Come down and read, and then you pass the baton to the next person to come up. So we don't know for sure where we're going to be. We have a kind of an outline on a board down there where we should be, where we're usually, what, a couple, 3 hours ahead, aren't we, Pastor?
Or behind.
Or behind, just depends how it goes.
But we sign people up for 15 minutes. Some
That's
people
right.
read for longer, read for half an hour.
Right.
And, you know, I know people that have been, in the nighttime, they've read for an hour, 2 hours at a
That's
time.
That's right. Well, nobody was there.
Because we didn't have enough people to read. You
That's
know,
right.
We didn't have enough people. So some people gave, stood there and read for 2 hours and just take turns.
So somebody else came, yeah.
So somebody else came, because in a marathon, you don't stop. Amen. So anyways, that's going to be in November the 11th. So please keep that in prayer, and please call us and say, I will help. I will give a gift of my time and my ability, amen, to do whatever is needed to be done. So the phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And my name is Donna.
So call in. Give us a time. We'll
Give
put you
call.
Down. We'll fix it up for you. Okay.
Amen.
We
Praise
appreciate
God.
You considering that. All right.
Praise Jesus.
I thought, you know, because the high holy days are over now and all, I thought we might talk about some things in Matthew chapter 24 and a couple other places. But, you know, I was looking at this wonderful Bible I have in front of me. And we teach only out of the King James. We believe this is the truth that God wants us to have and nothing else. All these other Bibles have things that have been removed and added. But this is the Bible. I got looking at this. Just think about it. This Bible was put together over a period of about 1,600 years with 40 different writers over history. And it all fits together like a glove. It's an incredible document. And, you know, when you think about it, it's really a Jewish document, isn't it, Pastor Donna?
Yes,
Everyone that wrote in here is Jewish. There might be a thought about Luke, but I think we found out through some history things and all that Luke, if he was a Gentile, then he was a proselyte and came in to Israel, and so he was part of Israel. He was Jewish in their eyes, okay? And so we have this, and it's written by, these were all written by Jewish people down through time. It's incredible. And so
awesome.
How it's an incredible book that God's put together, and so it's amazing how he shows it to us. And he shows us all the things down through history, how things happened and all that. Mm-hmm. And not only is it an anointed book, there's an anointing on the words of this, you know. It's a spiritual thing also, but also it's a history book, as Donna mentioned a little while ago. It's a history book. It tells us everything from the beginning to the end, how this world is going to come to a conclusion. Isn't that amazing? God has it all in this book, so it's an incredible history book. But how many people really read this history book or think it's archaic, it's been done away with, that wasn't written by God or given to people by God, you know, that it was man did all this? No, it was inspired by God. And so we thank you. God inspired this Neo-Thusos. I'll say it in a minute. It means pneuma.
You'll get it.
Pneuma.
I'm not going to try to say it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and we need to go back and start reading all the way up. It's time to start the Torah reading over again as well, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
Which is called the first five books of the Bible. That's the Torah part.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to go into the rest of the Bible. We can't leave anything else out. You know,
That's right.
Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. And we want to do some studying on the book of Joshua. And then we get we have all of these prophets. Wow. And the history.
That's right.
And then we have the wisdom of God and the Psalms and the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And we have these prophets, all these, you know, and then they call them minor prophets. Well, it just means they wrote smaller books, as far as I'm concerned, because they're all important, every single one of them, you know. Oh, the book of Daniel, which you've done an awesome study on the book of Daniel. Send your commentary, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. You'd have that, and you have those charts. And I just love that, reading the two of them together, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and all the history, what you have in your commentary about what happened and what's going to happen.
That's right. He tells us everything from the beginning to the end. He didn't leave anything out.
And then we come into the Gospels. We have the Gospels. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And the men who lived with Jesus and walked with Jesus. Then we have Paul. Oh, my.
That's right. The Apostle Paul.
And the books
what God
that John,
did with him.
John wrote.
That's right.
Oh, my. We had Paul and the time he spent with the Lord and the revelation that he received. It's just full.
I'm looking
full.
I'm looking at... 2 Timothy 3:16. Most people ought to know that if you're a believer.
Yes.
It says all Scripture, all not some. Scripture. It says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That word inspiration is that word I just mentioned. Theopneustos. Theo means God. And what is it? It's given to us by the Holy Ghost, by these writers. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man, we could say the man or woman of God, what, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right, we're going to talk about some things.
All good works. Yeah,
in Matthew, I got looking at this and think, I woke up this morning thinking about this. In Matthew chapter 4, 24, Jesus is incredible. And remember, we got to think about the audience who he was speaking to. He was speaking to the Jewish people. But it's interesting how he would go from the beginning of this time, maybe to the middle of it, until the end. He kind of jumps back and forth. And so I thought I might look at a few things. Look at chapter 24 if you're home. If not, you can listen. You can order a tape or a CD. All we ask for is a love offering. Make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip here is 34995.
They can also order your commentary, Pastor Gene. Because, well, you know, we have to make more of them. We only
That's
have
right.
like one or two left.
Lady called
us.
We
have gone through these.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, a lady called us this
from
week,
Georgia.
Last week from Georgia, and she ordered two. And they have gone through it and used it in their Baptist church.
Over the years.
And did a teaching. They're going to start another teaching.
They want it again.
And they want to, they're going to do it again. You know, it's just God's word.
That's all
it
is.
It's just God's word.
That's right.
And to the best of our ability, you know, and we have put this together. And whenever God shows us something else, we, you know, we'll fix it, we'll change it, whatever it is.
We'll
you know,
it,
we
yeah.
have to stay humble before the Lord.
That's right.
But we need to know about the feasts of the Lord, and we need to know how it relates to the Lord and Savior. You know,
That's
he participated in every single feast.
That's right.
He
honored them all.
One, honored them all.
And, even Hanukkah, didn't he?
And yes, and that's
John 10.
That's the next thing we'll be talking about
yeah.
is Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And so all of these, he honored them, you know, all these feasts. And so in this commentary, it's only $28. That includes shipping and handling, $25 plus $3 for shipping and handling. And you will have a lot of study. I'm just
right.
going to put study time. A lot of study.
A lot of study time.
And you will see in your eyes, I believe your eyes will be open to see the Bible in perhaps a little different way.
Mm-hmm.
Out of, you know, I hate to say Jewish eyes, but, you know, out of that perspective.
So when you look through,
we're,
yeah.
We're, right, right. So, you know, put on new glasses, mm-hmm. right? Because this is, like you said, it was all written by Jewish people.
That's right. It's his word. It's incredible.
His word.
So I'm going to go to Matthew.
And Jesus
yeah.
is Jewish.
It's right.
He was born
right.
a Jew. He died a Jew, and he's coming back as
and,
a Jew.
And remember, where he's going to come back is only to Jerusalem, no place else. That's his home and city. And by
right.
the way, if you're born again, that's our home as well.
Yes, it is.
Chapter 24 of Matthew. The first two verses are all set aside by themselves. I was looking at this morning, and this is interesting what Jesus said. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him, for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now listen to this. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Wow.
Now, let's think about this. We know that the temple was destroyed in the ninth of Av, way back in 586 B.C. Okay, the same thing happened. But Jesus is referring and telling him right now that something else is going to happen. And we know the history shows us now. It was in 70 A.D. when the temple was destroyed again, and the stones were turned upside down. And so these two verses just kind of set apart all by themselves.
Isn't it interesting, though, Pastor Gene? Jesus knows all about the temple.
That's right.
He knew all about the temple, but the disciples did not have that understanding as yet.
That's right.
He says they came to show him the building.
Yeah.
Buildings.
Show him
of
something he
the
didn't
temple,
know. Yeah.
The buildings of the temple.
Like he didn't know.
Well,
huh?
he's gonna begin to show, tell,
That's right.
teach them some things
That's
about
right.
the temple.
That's right.
And about the kingdom.
Yeah. Now we get into verse 3. Now the topic is going to change. Now, listen to this. Now, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him. Now listen, it's privately. They came privately. In other words, they wanted to talk to him, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of my coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And he's going to start telling them what's going to happen. And he tells us, and he's going to jump from his day to 70 years or 40 years in the future to 70 A.D. And he's also going to go all the way out to the end, whenever the world will come to an end, because that was the question that they wanted to know up there, okay? When they first, It says right there in verse 3, and the end of the world. Okay, so he's going to cover it all. Now, we just read verse 4. Now, verse 5 says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, after Jesus was on the earth, there was a lot of people that came and what? Declared themselves to be the Messiah. I think about 135 A.D., a rabbi by the name of Bar Kokhba claimed to be the Messiah. And so even they even fiddled around with their calendar and all that at that time to fit it in with Bar Kokhba. And a wonderful lady in our church, a dear sister last Sunday, asked me after church, she was confused about some things and said, well, why is the Jewish calendar have, we're in the year 5776 and we're in the year 2015. So if you look at it, we're off 224 years. Well, we'll find out if we think about it, look in the scriptures. What they did is whenever they were in captivity, like the 70 years with Babylon, in the book of Judges, when they were in captivity for 40 years because of the Philistines or whoever, they added all those years up and they took those years out of their Bible. That's what they did. Isn't that incredible when you think about it? But that's what was done. And so our calendar is accurate, okay?
What they want to do, wipe it away from their history?
They want to wipe it away from their history. That's what they, mm-hmm. Anything that was bad, they want to take it out of their book. And so we have to remember that. So the 224 years is clarified by the calendar.
It's like wiping away those emails.
Yeah, wiping away emails, yeah. They just disappeared all of a sudden.
Just
yeah.
Wipe them off.
Just wipe them off. off the.
That's a little joke.
Yeah, it's a joke, okay.
So well, it's not so little, it's important.
That's right. And so it says many are going to come and claim to be Christ, and there's been a lot of them down through history. Even after, you know, especially after Jesus came, you can think about all back, all different denominations in the 1800s all claimed when Jesus was going to come back and tell them who the Messiah was. Well, we know who the Messiah is. His name is Yeshua. Now, verse 6 says, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. Well, we have that today, but it happened back in, after Jesus left too. They had all kinds of wars. Look at the Dark Ages and all the things that happened with
That's
the
right.
Crusades and all that. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Hear that? For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We got that going on today, but it went on all down through history. Just they're more prevalent now than they were in past years. But we see all these things. We have famines. Look at how many people are starving over in Africa and different places. All kinds of pestilence. Ebola and all these things that we have. You know, AIDS came and all this stuff, you know.
And it's going to get worse.
And it's going to get worse. And then it says earthquakes in diverse places. It means in different kind of places. We've had earthquakes in America that we never thought would be in those particular places.
Around the world.
That's right. Washington, D.C. got shook that time and kind of messed up Washington's money. Remember, they had to repair that.
A crack in it.
Now this next verse is very important. All these, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Now when he talks about sorrows, he's talking about a woman giving birth. It's called the birth pangs of the Messiah. So when he's talking about these are the beginnings of sorrows, he's talking about Jacob's trouble. It's called the birth pangs of the Messiah to give the Jewish people another opportunity those 7 years to come to the Messiah that came for them the first time, and he's preparing to come back for him. For them and for us and for everyone else as well, if they come to Yeshua. Then verse 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Didn't that happen with all the disciples? They all had terrible deaths except for John. They were brought before tribunals and kings and potentates and all that.
Every one of them died.
All right? And we got people today in parts of the world that are being killed for what? For their belief in Yeshua the Messiah. Okay?
And being beheaded. Christians.
That's right. Now, verse 10 says, and then shall many be offended. Well, what does it mean to be offended? I looked this word up years ago. It means they're going to turn away from the faith. They're going to be offended by what the word says. It tells you that in the parable of the sower of the seed. It talks about that in Mark, I think, chapter 4, and also in Matthew chapter 13. They were offended by the word, okay? Because they didn't want to believe the word of God. And shall betray one another, and it says, and shall hate one another. Look what we have going on in the world today, all the hate, all the murders and everything.
You know, the word of God makes people that don't love God, they make people hate.
That's right.
And they become violent.
That's it.
And there's a word in the Bible that talks, it means violence.
That's right. The word violence in the first covenant, mm-hmm. in the Hebrew, it's a word spelled H-A-M-A-S. That's Hamas.
That's right.
Violence. That's what's going on in the world. Now, verse 11 says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Well, we got that going on to now, but there was a lot of this from the time that Jesus died and went back to be with his Father all through time. We just talked about Bar Kokhba, okay? Mm. They thought he was the Messiah. Well, they found out he wasn't the Messiah, and they went through a terrible time in 135 A.D. Thousands of people were killed by the Romans. And now verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, listen to this now, the love of many shall wax cold. Boy, we have that in our country today, don't we? Look at all the murders. Almost every day somebody else is being shot and killed.
The love of many, and you know, it talks about the church too.
That's right.
You know, what is the church? Is it going to be on, is it on fire for
mm-hmm.
the Lord?
That's
are
right.
we lukewarm
mm-hmm.
or are we cold? You
That's
know,
it.
And that Jesus talked about those that would be in those three different categories.
That's it. And so we think about all the things that's happened down through time with this, you know. The loves wax cold, you know. You know, people claim to know, like during the Crusades, you know, people, the leaders and all claim to know Jesus, and yet they would take Jewish people and run them in a synagogue, lock up all the doors and catch the place on fire and kill them. That's not the love of God. That's murder, okay?
That's right.
And so it says that the love is going to wax what? Cold.
Cold.
And it's been going all down through history, and it's getting worse all the time. It's really bad in our country right now today. People just don't, they have no respect for life at all. They just soon kill somebody's look at them. It's
people
terrible.
People will be hard as wax.
That's right. Hard as wax. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now we could look at this a couple ways. Could this mean endure until the end of the age that we're talking about? Well, we know all these disciples that Jesus was talking mm-hmm. about couldn't possibly live to be that long, but it could mean some of the people at the very end, but it could also mean, but he that shall endure until the end, what, maybe the end of his life,
That's
the
right.
same shall be saved. We got to stay with Yeshua. We can't walk away. We got to trust him in everything.
Up to the last moment.
That's right.
Of our That we have breath.
Then he says, verse 14, Jesus says this, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, means all the Gentile nations, and then shall the end come. So the gospel's going out. It's been going out all those years from the time that Jesus died and rose from the grave. It's been going on. Well, it's continuing to go on right now all around. So this is apropos for way back then. It's apropos for right now. Now, verse 15 takes us back now to another interesting place. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, and it says, whoso, Matthew says, whoso readeth, let him understand. So now we're talking about the book of Daniel. So we go all the way back, we go back to Daniel, and he tells us about the abomination of desolation. And chapter 11 tells us when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, that there's going to be two abominations of desolation. There was one in Antiochus Epiphanes today at Hanukkah, and there's going to be another one at the end. This will be at mid-tribulation. You can see that in Daniel.
That's right. And you know, Pastor Gene, this shows me that as we read our Bible, you know, Jesus knew every single
sure
word,
did.
Every single word in the Bible. He knew every single word of the
yep.
prophets. He knew all the Psalms. He knew that. And as we read our Bible this year, I would say to people to think about it. When Jesus says something, he refers to something else. Think about it. Jesus knew. He studied. He knew the Word of God.
Certainly did.
He quoted the Word of mm-hmm. God. He quoted things from Psalms. And here he tells us right now, just about Daniel the prophet. He believed in Daniel the prophet. He believed that there were prophets. You know, a lot of people don't even believe there were prophets.
You're right.
We need to get back to the Word of God and get back to the truth and believe what it says. Believe what Jesus said. Believe what the prophet said. The Bible says if you believe the prophets, what?
You shall prosper.
You're going to prosper.
That's right.
We need to believe what
mm-hmm.
God's word says, because God's word is going to bring us
That's
life.
Right.
You know, it's what is it? Are we going to have, do we want the blessings or do we want the curses?
That's
do
it.
We want life?
We
do
choose.
We want death or
mm-hmm.
life? We choose.
That's right.
We choose whether we're going to walk in those things. And even as we read about the blessings and the curses in the Torah, you'll be reading that. You know, there's a price. You're going to receive one or the other. You can't be down the road. You can't be saying, I'm going to receive the blessings, and well, you know, I'm going to walk. I'm not going to follow this, but
I'll walk my own way. Yeah.
I'm going to do what I want to do.
That's right.
You won't be able to receive the
mm-hmm.
blessings. You say, well, I'm going to live my life the way I like, and I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe this part of the Bible. You know, there's a lot of people out there and there's a lot of churches out there.
They're teaching that.
That will teach one thing, but then they'll teach another thing. They'll say it a lot. They'll twist the Word of God.
That's right.
It's called what? Iniquity.
That's what it
they
is.
They twist the Word of God. So
we just read that, because of iniquity, many shall what? The love will wax cold because of iniquity.
That's why we have churches like we have today. I'm not going to mention a bunch of other names, but you know, that's why we have churches that believe in sin. They actually believe in sin.
It's okay.
They believe it's okay.
That's right.
They believe it's okay. So Jesus knew the word.
He sure did.
He knew about every single prophet. He knew everything. He knew everything that Moses wrote, you know.
So he takes us back here in verse 15 about the abomination of desolation
mm-hmm.
that will be in the temple. Well, we know, we talked about Antiochus Epiphanes. If you read Daniel 11, over there about near the end, all of a sudden it shifts to the future. It talked about Antiochus, then it shifts to the future. So Jesus is doing this here with us in Matthew.
Now, so when I see this, I say, well, I better go back and see what it says in Daniel.
That's right. It's in
Let
chapter 9.
Let me go back and look at this.
That's right.
Go ahead.
So then you think about this. So this, he says, you got to be looking for this abomination of desolation. Mm-hmm. So it couldn't be talking to those people that are going to be alive at this particular time. But he's warning them and telling them what's going to happen in the future. That they can let their generation, their children all know about this. And then we have this other case in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it talks about this false Messiah who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God in verse 4, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this is what Daniel was talking about for the future, all right? And so Jesus brought it up to remind us it's going to happen again at the end.
It's going to happen.
So this has a double meaning, really, with a lot of things we think about. Amen? And then I like verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now we're back into the day right when Jesus was talking about this, because he warned them that all the temple stones are going to be turned upside down and all that. And so they found out 40 years after Jesus died and rose from the grave that the Roman general Titus came in and destroyed the temple and messed up Israel quite bad, didn't he? And so he told them, let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Don't look back. Don't take anything. I think about Lot's wife. Don't look back, okay?
And she did. She looked back.
And she became a pillar of stone.
Salt.
Now I'm going to go down to verse 21. So they're going to run to the mountains. Well, we know there's going to be a time during Jacob's trouble, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go to the mountains again, maybe down around Petra, that are going to run when they see what's going to happen from mid-tribulation out to the end with the false Messiah. But verse 21 says this, for then shall be what? Great tribulation. So Jesus is talking all the way up to the end, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Well,
how could anything be
any worse than back in when they were overrun by the Babylonians, killing their own children, eating them and all. How could anything be any worse than that? But Jesus says it's going to be worse than that in Jacob's trouble the last 3.5 years.
Wow.
And then it goes on. And except those days should be shortened, and I believe God's showing this, it's going to be shortened to 1,260 days. The last 3.5 years where it's going to be really bad, he's going to shorten it. There should no flesh be saved but for the elect's sake. Well, who's the elect? It's the Jewish people. This is a Jewish document. He's talking to the Jewish people. For the elect's sake.
Those days.
So those days shall be shortened.
He said they will. That's a declaration.
That's right.
He says those days shall be shortened.
Shall be shortened.
So interesting what you said, because you said 360 days.
1,260 days.
Right. I'm talking about the number of days in a year.
Okay.
Right. So, and of course, that's what your book goes along with that, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God's calendar people have changed the calendar how many times down through the ages?
You're
even
right.
The Jewish calendar.
Yeah.
And they add a month, they do all these different things. But even in the book, Book of Daniel, Book of Revelation, it talks about 360 days. So God is going to always stay on that prophetic calendar.
That's right.
On that prophetic calendar. How is he going to do it? I don't know, but he gives us the exact numbers, and those numbers are in your book.
That's right. So the 1,260 days is exactly 3.5 years on God's prophetic calendar, which is the lunar calendar.
That's right. It has to be on a lunar calendar.
That's right. So he's talking about these last 3.5 years. And then verse 23 says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. We got a lot of that going on today.
That's right.
For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive what? The very elect. This is talking about the Jews. This is talking about when Jacob's trouble comes, okay? Behold, I have told you before, Jesus said. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it or not. Remember, the Muslim faith, the majority of them out there in Saudi Arabia and all those countries are in the desert. So Jesus is saying, don't go out and look for someone that says they're the Messiah out in the desert. And you know, the Muslims believe that they got a Mahdi figure, which is a picture of us looking to the Messiah, but they got one also that's a false Messiah, and he lives out in the desert. They're believing that one of those well-known men that lived way back is going to raise from the dead, and he's going to come out of the desert, and he's going to be the Mahdi, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's warning those people at that time. Jesus was telling them that in the future. Well, that land was still there all these years. It's still been there. Now, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be that quick. And then he says, For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And I used to get confused about that. Why would that be stuck right in the middle of this like this? Well, it's a fact. After he comes back, what's going to happen? He tells you in Revelation chapter 19 to bring all the birds of prey into that valley over there after Megiddo. And what are they going to do? They're going to eat all the dead flesh of kings and princes, and no matter who it was, they're going to be destroyed at that time when Armageddon comes. And so these birds are going to be called to eat the flesh. So he's giving us a clue there. Now we have 29.
And don't we believe, if I remember correctly in your book, that this will be on the Day of Atonement?
Right, that's when it's going to happen. Yeah, he's going to come back on the Day of Atonement.
In the future.
That's right. And Revelation 19 tells you about them gathering all the eagles together to clean up all the dead flesh that's going to be there. Now 29, we get a different topic. My Bible has it bold. Now Jesus is going to shift to something else here. But we see in these first...
New paragraph.
Yeah, a new paragraph in other words. We see these first 28 verses he talked about in his day and warning them about the temple being torn down. It was in 70 AD. Told them to run to the mountains and all that. And
warned them about the Antichrist.
Warned them about the Antichrist.
False Messiah.
That's right. And then we go to 29 with a new topic here. And then he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now think about that one for a moment. This shows you and I that are in the body of Christ. When I read this, I say, well, Lord, what's this for us? What's this mean to us today? This is going to be after the tribulation period. Where are we at? We've been in heaven for 7 years. We believe in the catching away, the resurrection and all that prior to all these times that happened. So he tells you it's immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened? So what's going to happen? There's going to be what? A solar eclipse, and the moon shall not give her light. There's going to be a lunar eclipse. It happened this year. We don't know what's going to happen. We'll see, huh? And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. That's all in Revelation, all through the book of Revelation over there in those chapters. Mm. And it's also mentioned in Isaiah 13:10. Turn over to Isaiah 13:10. I'd like for you to read that. Isaiah 13, if you're at home. This is a...
Any Bible?
Mm-hmm. Don't be doing this when you're out in the car. Just listen. You can get a copy of the tape, the CD. Mm-hmm. All we ask for is a love offering. You can make a check out, a love offering. Make a check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. So what does Isaiah 13:10 say?
It says, for the stars of heaven...
Whoa! Go ahead.
And the constellations thereof shall not give their light.
Mm-hmm.
The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine.
See, so Yeshua is referring to this.
And
what's
I will
happen?
Punish the world for their evil.
That's it.
That's verse 11.
That's what's going to happen when he comes back.
And the wicked for their iniquity.
That's it. Incredible, huh?
And then, I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease.
Absolutely.
And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible.
What? The pride of the terrible people. Wow. And there's a lot of that going on. Now, verse 30 says this. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes. Now, that's interesting. When Jesus is talking to Israel, he's talking about tribes. He's talking about the tribes of Israel.
Yes.
All of the earth. The earth, he's talking about Israel. The tribes of Israel on the land of Israel, they're going to mourn. And they shall see. It tells you that in Zechariah chapter 14 and 13. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet,
shofar,
and they shall gather together his elect. Now, this is talking about the Jewish people, but there's going to be a lot of people included this time at the end. We know that. From the four winds, from one end of heaven to other. Amen? So the four winds is talking about everywhere across the world. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think about it. They're probably, this is at the end of Jacob's trouble. Think about it. Some of the Jewish people that come to Yeshua and die, what's going to happen? They're going to be in heaven. So he's going to gather all them together also. Isn't that incredible? From one end of heaven to the other. And over in Mark, it says that from one end of heaven to all. Let me just look at that. Let's flip over there real quick. Go to Mark chapter 13 with me. I think that's where it's at. I'm trying to do this by memory with you today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your holy word.
Glory.
Thank you for your
verse
holy...
Verse 24?
Well, yeah. I was going to go on down.
Okay.
Look at verse 27 in Mark 13. And then shall he send his angels, what we just read in Matthew, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So there'll be a lot of them will be on heaven. Will come back on the Day of Atonement, right? And there's going to be some people that's going to be alive at that time that will go into the kingdom in their mortal bodies. It's incredible. So we read back in 31 of chapter 24 of Matthew. Right? This is on the Day of Atonement. And then he gives them a parable. Listen to this. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. All right?
I'm speaking about Israel here.
That's right. Now, so likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
The door.
Well, now this it here means the kingdom of God. You can prove that. You can write this verse down. Luke 21:31 tells you, it tells you it's about the kingdom of God, okay? That's what the it is. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it, this is the kingdom of God, is near, even at the doors. Well, these people in this day he was speaking to couldn't possibly have seen that because it's hundreds of years in the future. But he was telling them what's going to happen in the future. You want to read that, honey? Luke 21:31
So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand.
Here, there it is. That's what the it is. Now we're back to Matthew 24:34 Verily I say unto you, This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, this could not mean the generation that Yeshua was talking to.
That's
they couldn't,
also in
they,
Luke.
Yeah, they couldn't have lived long enough. So what's he talking about? The generation that's alive at the end to see all these things says it's not going to pass till these things be fulfilled. And then he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Isn't that incredible?
It shows you how powerful God's words are.
That's right.
His words are powerful.
Now we have another paragraph, bold black in my Bible, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Well, the Jews knew that term, it's an idiom in their language and all in the Greek, that day and hour is a term pointing to what? A new moon.
New moon.
So he's telling the time of the year when all this is going to happen. Okay, it's going to be what? In the fall. All right? And he says, no man knows, nor the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But remember, when Jesus was on the earth, he was a man. He didn't say or do anything or didn't know anything except what the Father told him. But you can't tell me now he's on the right hand of the Father. He's the Yod Heh Vav is keeping a secret from Yeshua when he's going to send him back to bring the resurrection and the catching away. He knows he's on the right hand of the Father. So
I believe he does too.
The main thing here, he's telling you it's going to be what? On a new moon, and there's only one appointed time that comes on a new moon, and that's called trumpets. Now, let's go on.
And he's telling us now. He's giving us a sign.
He's giving us a sign. The time of the year it's going to happen. But
and also, what the world's going to be like.
That's right.
The days of Noah. What was happening in the days of Noah?
Yeah.
Everything you can think about, that you could think of that was bad was happening.
That's right. So it says right here in verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And it says, verse 39 says, and knew not, knew what, knew not. What did they know not? They didn't know there was going to be a flood come, but Noah kept telling them, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They were all taken, they were all destroyed. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Isn't that incredible? Now, let's go back to Mark chapter 13 again. I think that's where it is. About the days of Noah. There's an interesting way that Mark worded this for us that we might understand. I think it's in Mark. Let me look here. Hallelujah. Let's see if I can find that real quick here with you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Verse 32.
Yeah, I'm looking there. And that's not what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I'm looking about Lot. All right?
Lot.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Where's that at?
Well, this is while he's looking for that. This is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton, and we're supposed to be on this broadcast. We're on every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 o'clock. Pray that you're getting some food here. I'm going
to Luke 17. I just got to get my thought together. Here. There you are. I got it. It's in Luke 17.
Okay.
Glory be to God.
Praise the Lord.
All right.
Thank you, Lord.
If you go to Luke chapter 17 here, okay.
Thank you, Lord.
We've already read that. Verse 27 of Luke 17 says, they did eat. Well, let's go back to 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. We just read that before in Matthew and in Mark. Mm-hmm. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and what? And destroyed them all. Show there's going to be a destruction first, mm-hmm. okay? Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. Now listen to this one. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. It didn't say one thing about marriage, because this city was rampant with homosexuality. Mm. Marriage was not mentioned, okay? Mm-mm. We know the fallen angels that fell. They cohabitated, married women on the earth.
They took them.
They took them, is what it said.
They took them.
Right. Now,
not because they wanted to marry them, but because they wanted to
procreate with them. Yes.
Make the giants.
And then verse 29 says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom,
it rained
fire and brimstone from heaven, and what? Destroyed them all.
Mm-hmm.
Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So we have some interesting pictures here showing what's going to happen in the future, but what happened back in that day, and Jesus alluded to all that. So we're back in Matthew now.
And you know, we say, well, that's not happening today.
Yeah.
About like, It is happening today. You know, these giants that they had, that, you know, when they had to go across the Jordan, they had to fight these giants.
All the giants, yeah.
And that's right. And they fought these giants. And so, and they destroyed them. You know, look mm-hmm. what David did. He went out. He went out with five smooth stones. Well, that giant had brothers.
That's right.
He was out there, and he said, and he was what he said, you know, he trusted in the Lord.
That's right.
He trusted in the Lord. He may have been small in the king's eyes, mm-hmm. but, you know, and the king probably thought he was a fool. But you know, he trusted the Lord, and that giant fell and died, and he was ready to kill the rest of them.
That's right. He was huge. Yeah.
And so we talk. The Bible says there were giants in the land.
Absolutely.
Some people don't even believe that.
That's right.
You know, a lot of giants that they found, even their
bones,
skeletons.
Yeah.
They hide them. They don't want people to see them. But look what's happening, and how that can come about, because, like you said, those fallen angels.
That's right.
That they took wives, and then they had the women had children, and they had giants. Well, look what's happening today. Our government, not just our government, but the governments of the world are playing with DNA.
That's right.
And they are changing people's...
The human genome.
Yes.
That's what they're trying to do, yes.
And we could go into that for like 3 hours.
That's right.
But, you know, this is creating...
A hybrid human being is what they're wanting to do,
which
yeah.
Which cannot even be saved.
That's right. Unredeemable.
Unredeemable. Unredeemable.
That's why it says in the book of Revelation, if they take the mark of the beast, that mark will more likely change their DNA. They're unredeemable. It says they're lost if they take it. Let's go back
so
to...
we're doing this in science.
That's right.
It's happening all over with animals,
that's
with people,
right.
with
you
plants,
it.
With
that's
food.
Right. That's why God talked about Noah's day right here in verse 39 of Matthew. Mm-hmm. And he says the giants and all, they didn't know what was going to happen until the flood came and took them, destroyed them all. And then and it says, so shall it also... So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be talking about in the future, okay? Now, this
because
is interesting.
Because it said that even happened after the flood.
That's right.
Because that giant that David fought was after the flood.
That's it.
So it happened again after the flood.
That's right.
You know, the enemy is always at work to kill, steal, and destroy.
So how do all of those giants get into all those lands that Joshua and his people had to kill and destroy when
steal,
they moved into
the
promised
but
land?
But Jesus came to give us life, right? And more abundant
now, the reason
life.
I want to talk about this, that these giants were taken in judgment at this time. Mm-hmm. Remember, Noah was in the ark for 7 days before the doors were closed, and this was all destroyed. So he was taken out first, okay? Not destroyed, but to be saved. Now look at verse 40 now. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. We have people teaching this is the catching away of the church, the rapture. This is not true. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken. Taken where? They'll be taken in judgment. And the other left, what? To go into the kingdom of God. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken in judgment and the other left, what? To go into the kingdom in their mortal bodies. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now somebody might say, well, I don't believe that, Pastor Gene. Well, I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 17 with you now. We put all the Gospels together, and Luke has the conclusion of this to tell you exactly what happened. The ones that were taken were not caught off of this earth. They were taken in judgment because of their wickedness. So the wicked are going to go out first. Go read the parables in Matthew chapter 13. You'll see that the tares are going to go out first. All right, I took you to chapter 17, and we don't have a lot of time, but I want to finish this with you.
Thank you, Lord.
Where do I want to go here? I want to go down. I'm going to start reading in verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop. We read all that in Matthew. I'm not going to do that one. 32 says, remember Lot's wife. She looked back and she turned into a pillar of stone,
mm-hmm.
didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Now, this is the only gospel that proves this for us. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one other will be left. And so the disciples answered and said unto him, where, Lord, where will they be taken? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body, it means a dead body, is, thither will the eagles be gathered together, just like we read there in Matthew chapter 24. So he's telling you, that the ones that are going to be taken will be taken in judgment. Those that survive Jacob's trouble and they come to Christ and all, they're going to be left to go into the kingdom of God in their mortal bodies. It's incredible what God shows us right here. So it's not talking about a rapture. He's talking to the Jewish people back in his day, and they didn't fully understand all that he was saying at that particular time, but we know they did later on. And so he was revealing us all this. He told them the time of the year when it's going to happen. It's going to be in the month of Tishri, in the seventh month on the Jewish prophetic calendar. He said that you won't know the day nor the hour. They're looking for a new moon. All these things. And so at the end of Jacob's trouble, think about it, that last year, all these things are going to come to a conclusion. That's exactly what the Bible's showing us. On the Day of Atonement, Yeshua will come back and put his foot again on the Mount of Olives, literally at his second advent.
No.
And then we're going to go into the kingdom. God's going to begin to establish his kingdom with
Yeshua.
Thank
you, Lord.
So it's all there. And so we got to remember who Jesus was talking to in Matthew, Mark, Luke. You know, John didn't talk about these things, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. And so we got to understand the audience he was talking to. He was talking to what? His people, the chosen people, his people. And so they might understand what was going to happen in days and days and years
Jewish
in the future.
People.
Amen? And it was imperative for them even to come to Yeshua at that time after his resurrection, right? Or that we'd be lost. All right, we're down to about a minute and a half.
And all that started with a question about, let me show you the temple.
Show me the
right?
temple.
The disciples said, let me
show you the temple.
The
like he didn't
temple.
Know what was going to happen.
Thank you, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
We just thank you, Lord, for your holy word, Lord God.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, Father God, that it will set us, it will make us free.
Absolutely.
Amen. It teaches us the truth.
Show some
and
love.
And so we thank you, Father, that Jesus is the truth, and he gives us life, eternal life.
He's the way and the life too, isn't he?
Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we're just blessed to be here on WCNO every Saturday, Lord willing. And if you'd like to have a copy of this, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can go to WCNO and you can listen to it then. You can give us a phone call. We have services here in Stuart, Florida, this afternoon at 4:00. We'll be having a class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also we'll have close our Shabbat out this afternoon. Tomorrow morning we'll have service at 10 a.m. And then we also meet on Fridays. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you and talk to you. And we just want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey.
And to Harley.
And to bless you guys. And to Judy up there. We've been praying for you. The phone number here, we're running out of time. Just like I have to give everybody a phone call. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
And while you're talking about it, remember, God never planned to leave us in darkness. That's why
Amen.
We have this holy book. We're not in darkness, we're in light. Hallelujah.
We have the light.
So as we close this program every week, I tell you, look up because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.